The president's State of the Nation address was pretty inspiring. As is expected, you lay the basis, which forms the baseline for doing any future assessment in terms of how far the new government has been able to take us in the coming year when we come to do another State of the Nation address. He indicated the economic challenges that the new government has inherited and zoning on the power sector, indicating the extent of the debt they have inherited. And in fact, most of the debt also arise by commitment, and they can be compounded in the medium to long term by the commitments that are inherent in a lot of the power purchasing agreements. You see, when you have an installed capacity that is adequate in meeting local demand, but then you have a power shortfall because you do not have the resources to procure the needed fuel to generate the power, you don't go on the trajectory of continuing to sign power purchasing agreement. You deal with a financial problem related to the supply of adequate fuel to generate power. And so it is our conviction that most of the power purchasing agreements that have been signed, if they materialize in the medium to long term, they may lead to redundancy in generated power. And because we have actually committed to purchasing this power, it will mean paying for something that you do not need. And this is why we agree with the new government that they are going to review all these agreements. They call it review, but I will call it rationalization. In fact, everything that we do in this country must be rational. And I think what has happened in time past relative to the signing of these numerous power purchasing agreements are irrational. And so if they want to rationalize them and to cancel some of them, I'm all for it. But I'll caution that we should not cancel them in a haste. We should carefully examine the exit clauses on this contract and their implication if we should cancel them. And where we think that the gain to be made in canceling them will not surpass the loss, then we can proceed to exit from these contracts.
What is the risk? What is the risk inherent in, as you said, canceling or exiting some of these contracts?
Every contract should have an exit clause. And if you sign a contract that does not have exit clauses, then it's a bad contract. The exit clauses will show the terms and the conditions for reviewing or canceling the contract. And it goes for both parties to the contract. And so that is what we need to look at and see whether there are grounds based upon which we can exit without incurring any financial debt or without having any negative consequences for the state in terms of liability. And we'll then do the cost and the benefit analysis before we take the decision to exit from these contracts. But again, if Parliament were doing its work very well, perhaps we wouldn't have ended in a situation where we signed all these numerous contracts, many of which we are not going to need in the medium to long term. And perhaps would have restricted ourselves to resolving the problem as it was, and which was inadequate financing to procure fuel to generate power.
On the decision to list the ECG and Gridco on the stock exchange, Dr. Mantiao said it is long overdue, but it should be based on commercial consideration and not politically motivated.
Well, I've always maintained that one of the biggest hindrances to the efficient operation of a lot of our state enterprises has to do with the sometimes entirely unnecessary and blatant political interferences in matters that are purely commercial, which is the reason we ended up with the so-called political electricity meters at ECG. Anybody who has or is close to the corridors of power will get the permission or the opportunity to bring in meters and then force this on ECG, whether they are needed or not. And so I keep making the point that one way in which we are able to reduce the level of political interference in the affairs of state enterprises, especially the purely commercial ones, would be to dilute their ownership and so that at least government will have other stakeholders to contend with at annual general meeting. And so the decisions in terms of the operations of these entities will be based on commercial considerations and not political considerations. So if the government has decided to actually do this, then I think we can support that the move. But let me also say in that caution that one of the things that we may need to do is not to saddle the new VRA, that is the one that is going to be privatized, with the legacy debt that we have currently in the country. And so we urge that the government consider maintaining the energy sector levy at least for a period to help liquidate or reduce the debt burden on these enterprises. It will help to improve the present net value of these enterprises before they are privatized. And then again, For me, the greatest appeal in terms of these enterprises will be their prospective value. Because to the extent that we continue to exist as human beings and in this country, we shall require power. So no, Ghanaians and investors know that if you invest in power, it's a good investment you are making.
That was the co-chair of the Extractive Industries and Transparency Initiative,